We all have times when we feel anxious or depressed, but now is the time to take control of your mental health. Hi, I'm Dr. Daniel Bynus, and I'm a holistic psychiatrist. Before we start this podcast, I want to introduce you to our brand new intensive online program that I'm super excited about. It's called Overcoming Anxiety and Depression. Brought to you by experienced mental health professionals, this program will give you powerful tools to manage your emotions and practical ways to excel in your relationships. This is a powerful, amazing, holistic program that will assist you in your battle for optimal mental health. Are you ready for change? Join our next session beginning April 2nd, 2024. Learn more at beautifulmindswellness.org. Now to the podcast. Welcome to the Brain People Podcast, a show where four mental health experts team up to bring you practical tools for overcoming mental health challenges. The Brain People don't replace your doctor or therapist, but we will give you some extra tools to help you on your journey. So join us as we fight mental illness, one episode at a time. Welcome to the Brain People Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Bynus. And today I have a very special guest, one of my good friends, Steve C. And he's actually a marriage and family therapist and also an amazing life coach. And Steve has had a lot of experience over the years coaching not only your everyday people, but also people at a very high level of organizations, physicians. He's actually worked with hospital systems, and he has had a lot of experience in really meeting people where they're at and helping them to work toward a better life experience. And so I'm really thankful, Steve, that you're joining us today. And our topic today is going to be on maintaining balance and our sanity when life gets really busy. And I think many of us can really resonate with that. So thank you for joining us, Steve. Tell me a little bit about your coaching experience. How did you even get into coaching? What drew you into that?
Well, first of all, you're very welcome. Thank you so much for inviting me on and to talk about this topic, the subject, which I very much spend a lot of my time in and in what I do as a coach. How I got into coaching is really interesting story, because I used to work as a respiratory therapist in hospitals. So I used to work for companies like Kaiser and Sutter, and I worked as a respiratory therapist working with like asthmatics, COPD patients, patients that couldn't breathe, babies coming out of like neonatal care that needed more of a higher level. And so I started to see around me a lot of fatigue with nurses, physicians, fellow colleagues. And I know they had a thing called EAP, right? Employee Assistance Programs, but it wasn't there on the front lines. And I said, something different needs to change here in order to really serve healthcare workers on the front lines. And so I saw, you know, as I sought the Lord out and what I needed to do about it, I actually went back to school at Western Seminary to get my marriage and family therapy degree so that I can actually come back and work with not just healthcare workers, but people in general. But that's where it started. And of course, going through school, I realized in school, if you're familiar with the Sesame Street, one of these things is not like the other. I realized as a therapist, I didn't have, I want to say the therapist mindset. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what a coaching was until working with a mentor, a retired Navy chaplain. I had to do 30 hours of my own personal therapy during my college degree, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And he said, Steve, I see coaching in you. I'm like, what? I don't even know what that is. Just stick with me. I'll mentor you through it.
Maybe it's that whistle around your neck.
But he saw it in me, and it became natural. That's as a therapist, I had to think about, what am I going to say? Which theory am I using? How do I felt nervous in the therapist chair. As a coach, I just felt free flow from the spirit. I didn't have to think. I didn't have to overreact. I just show up, and it was natural. And my mentor saw it in me. And I just, from there, after I graduated, I pivoted. I was going to try to do both, you know, therapy and coaching, but coaching became really the path that God's called me to. And I couldn't have dreamt what the path that I was going to be on now, but it's the best thing that's happened, because it aligned perfectly with what my mentor saw in me that I couldn't see in myself.
Isn't that amazing how sometimes people actually see things in us that we don't necessarily see in ourselves? And I really resonate with what you're saying, because the moment I met you, I felt that, like, you know, this guy really, he's built for coaching, and you have the kind of mentality and just the presence, if you will, that I think inspires people to want to change and become the best version of themselves. And I know that you've helped me with that, so I really appreciate that, Steve.
You're welcome.
And so it's pretty amazing, this journey that you've gone on, and even before the podcast we started recording, you're mentioning, you know, you started even in the military, and then respiratory therapy, and then going to school for the marriage and family therapy, but then you end up in coaching, which is actually pretty phenomenal. And I love how you saw a need there. You saw a need in your fellow healthcare workers that wasn't being addressed. You saw the burnout, you saw the stress, and you wanted to make a difference, and now you actually are. Beautiful story. So can you tell—
And it's interesting on that point. I had the opportunity to speak to the place I had worked at recently. Actually, Sutter Roseville Medical Center. I got a chance to speak to a lot of the staff. So this is like 10 years in the making, where I got a chance to actually come back to the very first thought of the vision that God planted in my heart. 3 weeks ago, I was able to speak to this group on some of the topic that we're going to talk today on values. I was able to come back and speak to what it originally was planted in me 10 years ago.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Isn't it neat how sometimes you come to these places in your life and your career, and you're like, just have to take a step back and be like, wow, it's amazing where God has brought me in my life, and how did I end up here? But feeling so blessed through all the whole experience.
It is, absolutely. It's wild to think that you could get paid to be yourself.
Yes.
That God can use you as you are. You don't need anything else.
That's right. So today, we want to hone in to some secrets and some coaching secrets to how we can maintain that life and work balance, and just that life balance. And so many people, I think, in today's world are feeling burned out. And, you know, as we talk, I'd be happy for you to interweave any experiences or things that come up for you, because I think that's really nice for our listeners too. But before we go there, I'd really like to hear from you. What do you see in people that are kind of warning signs that tell you, uh-oh, maybe they're starting to burn out, maybe they're scraping the bottom of the barrel, and there's some issues that need to be dealt with here?
Great question. When I'm working, when I see someone, and I can see it from the very beginning, very attuned into that, is when I see somebody walking in, whether I'm seeing them on in person or on the phone or by video now with COVID, a lot of people I have to see virtually. One of the things I can really see is the lack of them, their ability to feel like they're owning anything in their life, that they have choice, decision, kind of going by a lot of times trying to meet expectations. There's a lot of people pleasing that comes in there. There's a lot of things that they feel are outside of themselves to be able to have any control or answer to, or any solution that they themselves can step into. And that's a warning sign I see, is when I hear a lot of they and them, the answer's outside of me, versus I have the faculties to be able to take a step forward. And that's when I start to see signs like that. When I see a lot of blame or criticism, and you see a lot in culture today, when they need to change, or someone else has to make my life better. Those are first signs that I look at and I go, wow, there's nothing really owned by the person.
Yeah.
And I see that as a real start of a lot of warning signs that I'll see, is when somebody's not kind of owning their spot of where they're at.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. I see that in a lot of people, and I've even been tempted to use that sort of language before, and kind of the blame game, like, oh, my circumstances, if I didn't have to work so much, or if this person wasn't doing this over here, and we can start criticizing and blaming, and really we start using what I call kind of victim words and mentality, and that is not a good place to be in. So that sounds like that's one of the major signs of burnout, is actually getting into that victim mentality. Are there other signs that people should look for when they're thinking about, am I kind of burning out here?
Not taking time to tend to themselves.
Mm.
You know, I was talking to you before the podcast started, the physician, heal thyself. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself first when you get on the plane, right before you put it on your children. It's that idea where I don't see a lot of people when they're getting to that point, they're not creating space in their life to slow down, to tend to themselves, whether it's exercise, sleep, and nutrition, whether it's connecting with loved ones through relationship, whether it's connecting with the thing that they're doing for their job and seeing the meaning and the purpose behind it. They're not taking time to slow down, to tend to themselves, to get away, to be able to see things from a different perspective, because they're always in that go mode, always in stress. They're not pulling themselves. I call it the 30,000 foot view of their life.
Yeah.
Taking a 30,000 foot view, you have to step back and really assess what's going on. And I see what people are stuck in that, not stepping away.
It's almost like this, that rat, feel like you're on a rat on a wheel and it just never stops, right? Yeah. It's like this fight or flight mode that you're more reacting than really being intentional with your life and able to actually mold your life in a way that you see fit and you want the direction you want to go.
That's it. So example is not having boundaries for nights, weekends, holidays. I see those things when I hear those, I'm working late or I'm working the weekends or I'm not pulling away from something that could be a good thing. So a good could be a good stress until I've consumed too much of it and I haven't stepped away. And those are signs that I'll start to see too, where there's too much dipping from maybe the work bucket. And so my relationship bucket's empty and so is my personal well-being bucket. And so I'll kind of assess for that too of how much time and attention is really put into maybe work where it seems all good and well until it's not because there's too much attention poured in there.
So the victim mentality, lack of self-care, any other warning signs that we should be watching for that would be like, oh, maybe I'm getting a little burned out here. Maybe I need to think about some changes.
Yeah, and like I was talking to you before, actually, on the podcast before we started, is the language. I really listen for language, especially as of lately. I'll listen to the way people speak about their situation. Kind of going to the victim part.
Yeah.
Are they speaking from I get to or I have to? Are they speaking from I choose to or I should? Are they speaking that I look forward to or this has to be done? When I hear a lot of the language that has me passive, I'm not a decision maker. I'm not part of taking ownership or authoring what I'm going to create. Then I listen for that as almost like telling kids you got to do your homework and bathe. And I told you because I'm your parent, that feeling of like somebody else is driving the ship and I'm not. So I listen for that language too. I don't hear a lot of I get to, choose to, and want to. Then I start to look at that as warning signs of burnout in that case too. Well, there's not a whole lot of fulfillment, not a whole lot of joy and gratitude built in that.
Oh, it makes a lot of sense. So now that we can kind of identify some of this language and maybe lack of self-care. And certainly I've seen people just get really fatigued and their relationships suffer as a result of all of this stuff. What are some of the coaching secrets, if you will? Where do we start? So let's say we're like, okay, yeah, Steve, I see some of these issues in me. Where do I start? Well, give me the 1, 2, 3 and I'll be healed.
That's a great question. Somebody asked me that recently, as you said that. The best coaching advice I ever got was from my second coach, Stephen McGee. One of the things he worked with me on was creating a morning routine. That shifted my life ever since. This morning, getting up at 4:45 with an 8-week-old, a 3-year-old, and a 7-year-old. That is the only time that I find carve into my
day. And let's just pause right there. I just want to make sure our listeners got that. So Steve, he has to live, he has to practice what he preaches because he has, how old's your oldest, did you say, 7?
7.
7 and 3?
3, yep.
And 8 weeks. And he has a lively bunch and that can take a lot as a father plus working and trying to juggle all these things. So yeah. Go on with your morning routine, but you continue to prioritize that, even though I'm sure oftentimes it would be easy to just be like, I'm just gonna sleep.
And sometimes sleep is critical, is crucial too. That comes into being a factor. The value of the morning routine is this. Most people wake up reactive to their life by an alarm, and all of a sudden I have to get up and either tend to the kids or get ready for work. But what I wasn't doing is getting up and taking time to pause, taking time to reflect. So instead of waking up and getting right into reactive mode, I was able to wake up and have time and thought. So people talk a lot about meditation or mindfulness. You hear a lot of this idea, or what's maybe some of the words now being used, like stillness, right? Mm-hmm. This idea of, let me slow down to check in first with myself before I go out into the world, maybe serving my work, serving my family, being busy about the day. And the morning time is the best time to connect, you know, in my case with the Lord, right? Yeah. As a Christian, and that might be the only time I really get a chance to quiet the noise.
Yes.
Right. In this age of digital distractions, that's the highest time when there's less emails, less text, less people pulling from it. My kids, right? That's the only time that I found that I can actually slow things down, and I can really have that time in the morning before the rest of the day starts to take place. And it's when I'm the most fresh, it's when I'm the most prepared mentally to be able to step into, you know, the so-called daily stressors, right? Of raising a family, of working a business, of being able to tend to the things that show up in our day.
Yeah, and I really appreciate what you're sharing. And for me, I'm thinking about, you know, especially in healthcare, but in most things in life, we all have areas where we need to give a lot. And if we are not taking time to be refilled, and I agree, for me, that morning routine is key. If I don't have that time to be refilled, I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel all day. I mean, I just don't have anything to give, because if you're not taking the time to be refilled, then what are you going to have to give? So I really appreciate what you're saying.
It's true. And a good acronym, if you want to give, you know, for the audience to start with a morning routine. And I've worked myself up to, you know, about an hour and a half or so now, hour and a half or two, but it started out with 10 minutes. This is 7 years in the making.
Wow.
So starting out small.
That's nice. I like that. Because a lot of people, I think, feel overwhelmed. Like, oh, I can't do that. But 10 minutes. What do you do in 10 minutes?
So what I learned from a great mentor of mine is called the Power Hour.
Uh-huh.
Right? And there's different acronyms. But I like acronyms because people can remember that when you look at the morning routine. Is when I wake up, the P stands for peace. I spend time just in thought. Mm-hmm. That could be slowing down, waking up, to brush my teeth, to go have a glass of water, to kind of prepare my breakfast for the day. But it's a time to slow down and be at peace. So I'm not in a rush. I'm getting up, in my case, getting up before my children. That helps me to be in a state of peace.
Yes.
And so the P is for peace. It gives me a chance to slow down. It gives me a chance to pray or to have time just to quiet the noise before the noise comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And the O is for openness.
Mm.
That's where I might journal a thought, maybe gratitude, maybe an intention. What am I intentional about today? That's where I'm just open to whatever, in my case, the Lord wants to speak to me that day, or just what shows up in my mind. I give myself a chance to maybe jot that down in a journal. It doesn't need to be much. It might be a word or two, or it could be a page and a half. Like today, I was full of just ideas, but most of the time it's maybe a sentence or two. That's it. The W is for who, why, and where. Who am I serving? Why am I serving? What am I up to today? That's where we really connect to the values in us, is what am I really about today? When I know that somebody's been gone through the phase of burnout or overwhelmed or chronic stress, I know they haven't checked in there. So for me, the morning time gives me a chance to really see, what am I going to be busy about today? And that little subtle shift is enough to get me back on purpose versus feeling like something's just a job or a hassle.
Wow, that's powerful, because you were talking about getting to that 30,000 foot level to get perspective. And what I hear you saying is, for you, it's important to actually get that perspective every day to make sure that you don't imperceptibly start to get away from the purpose that you feel called to.
It's it. And then the E is for exercise. And exercise doesn't have to be something hard and strenuous. It could be, but really it's just mobility. Mm-hmm. It's giving our chest, it could be stretching, could be taking time to go for a walk. And in my case, I like to do kind of go for a walk and talk to the Lord on our trail on the backside of our house. But really it's just, it's taking time to get the body loose, mm-hmm. get the body moving, kind of, you know, moving, because the body really feeds the mind, that feeds the soul. I really see that with exercise. And then the R is for reading.
Mm.
Now, if we're committed, you can use Audible. You can do good podcasts. You can do Audible books. You can read something in the new, you know, something in an article. The key there is something healthy, something edifying. So I'm not talking about news. I'm not talking about something that's going to be providing more anxiety in our life.
Yes.
Tuning into something that's really healthy in the sense of feeding our mind with something that gives us joy, gives us inspiration, gives us new ideas about maybe something in our life. And that's a great opportunity to take a few minutes. I have books that I read that are just a page or two, because that's maybe all I have before my son, my three-year-old, gets up around 5:30. So I don't have much time, but a book that I can get through, a lot of times just having a thought in a page or two is just enough to put the right stuff into my head. So that I'm able to maintain my buoyancy throughout a day of stress. And so absolutely. And that's just a good way to look at it.
I love that acronym. Mm-hmm. That's great. I like acronyms too. Yeah. And it sounds like your son wants to be part of that power hour. He loves it so much.
Oh yes. I better work him into it. You bet. You know, cause that's the reality, right? Raising a family, even in something is life feeling enriching as a morning routine, learning to be flexible and adapting with my son in the midst of it, because that's the reality that most people deal with, right? And it's relatable to people when they go, oh yeah, morning routine must be nice if you're single or you're married, no kids. I'm like, no, I do have kids and it's not easy, but it's absolutely necessary. In fact, crucial, mm-hmm. you know, for the rest of the day's well-being and the rest of the day's perception of what I might miss if I don't start that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I can imagine that a lot of people are definitely resonating with this acronym, and I think that's a great place to start. But I also have seen time and time again where people are like, okay, you know, I want to have that time for peace and maybe prayer and you know, I'm open, but I don't really know that W part, that purpose. Like, I don't feel like I'm really living out my purpose in my life. How can I connect with that? Because I feel like I'm just kind of like going through the motions and just going to a job and, you know, sitting there for 8 hours getting a paycheck because it's what I have to do to survive, but I don't really feel fulfilled. How can people start to discover that and go out of that place of like, you know, just being in kind of that, I have to do this, to more of like, I get to do this. This is, you know, I feel like this is what I was meant to do.
Yeah, that's a great question. And some of the training that I've been doing lately is what I call value-based living, values-driven life, and getting to the roots of what we value, to know what our purpose is, our why. Somebody asked me that this morning. I don't know my why. I'm like, what do you value? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I'll spend time sitting down with somebody to define their values. One quick way to look at it is this. I call it the eulogy. But you know, Stephen Covey calls it begin with the end in mind and 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Mm-hmm.
I call it begin with the grave in mind, the eulogy experience.
Sounds so dark and depressing.
It does. The key is this though, at the end of my life, imagine this, my best friend, a close family member, maybe a sibling is talking to my friends and family, my loved ones about their experience of me having lived on this earth, what's the top 3 to 5 things I'd want them to share about me?
Wow.
What I left with them, with the experience, how they experienced me, what is it that I would want them to share about me? That a lot of times gets right down to what I value.
Yeah, that hits me right here in the heart, just thinking about that. I'm like sitting here thinking, okay, would those people that are close to me right now, would they actually say the things that I would want them to say, that, you know, would people know about me what I really want to be living out? And it's like, oof, that hits in the heart, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, that kind of helps us to maybe reassess and evaluate where we're going.
And another way to look at it too, you're right. It's even though it starts with, you know, looking at the end of life, because there's, we strip away fear, we strip away wanting to be liked, or, you know, we call it FOMO or FOPO, fear of missing out, or yes, fear of other people's opinions, and all that stripped away when you're at the end of yourself, it's just love that's left. Mm-hmm. And so that's a good way to say, what is it about me that is valuable? Another way to look at it in current context is we have a lot of fires in Northern California. So another way to look at it is if you only have minutes before your house burns down, you can only take these 3 to 5 values with you to start your life over again. Mm-hmm. You can't take anything else but these 3 to 5 values. Everything else has to be left. What mm-hmm. would you take? What values would you take with you to say, this is crucial for who I am moving forward, yeah, to build my life afresh, anew?
So if someone's really trying to figure out what their values are, and like you said, they're kind of using this thing, but maybe they're struggling. Is that where a coach maybe could be helpful?
Absolutely.
To come alongside and help them? Because I know, like you said, even for you, it sounds like you didn't really recognize totally your own values until someone started kind of drawing that out for you.
Yeah, and that was the other part I was going to say when you're asking, like, what's some tips beside the morning routine? A great way to find our values is through our community, through our connection with others. Mm. Right, the number one source of happiness, what's the 80-something year study with Harvard, says that the number one source of happiness is relationships, connection.
Yes, yes.
And it's those people around us, just like the eulogy, those people around us know us. Mm-hmm. If we're willing to not isolate, we tend to isolate when we get stressed, overwhelmed, fearful.
That's true.
We tend to reserve or recluse.
Yeah.
Instead of integrate and step into relationships. It's those people, like I mentioned, my mentor, now I have a coach, I work with a therapist, and just having people pour into my life that can speak truth into me, that can see what I cannot see. Oftentimes, even with stress, I might get a little more tunnel vision. I can't see what I don't see.
And I love that, because I think there's so many people that have a lot of people around them, but they still feel lonely. You know, and like you said, that stress can actually isolate us, even if we're around a lot of people, and really intentionally opening up to people that are safe and actually going to be supportive, it seems like can help guide us through that process of connecting with our values. And in turn, I imagine that, okay, and I'm thinking about this in my own life too, now that I've discovered more of my values, that helps me to prioritize better, right? And to say no to things that maybe I shouldn't be doing and say yes to things that maybe I wasn't doing.
Absolutely. I mean, like working with a coach, of course, like a list that I have of values that come up if somebody's completely stuck. But the people closest to us can echo what our values are. Mm-hmm. They know it. They know us at the heart level, and that's where we start, right? Now, if we don't have a community built, we find a community. That's one of the things I love about Beautiful Minds, that I'm constantly helping people that maybe need to recreate their environment because maybe it's a toxic environment and they don't have a lot of positivity coming out of there. It's going and forming that. It's creating a community of people that are going to get to welcome you.
And that's what I think life is all about, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, I'll tell you, my favorite part of the job is actually connecting with people and really having a sense of, you know what, when you come here, you're not just a patient or a client. You're actually, we want you to be part of the family. You know, we want to really connect on a level that helps you feel supported and that realize that you're not alone, that we're here to walk this journey with you. And it's, of course, I think it's a good thing for them, but selfishly, it's actually also a wonderful thing for me just to be able to be part of someone's journey and seeing, you know, the joy come back into people's lives.
That's it. So when you think about that, the morning routine, connecting in relationships, when I see somebody that's not burned out, that has more wellness, those are two of the highest things that I see that they integrate, right? That they bring into the mix. And the third element in there, this is a big one that I've been really leaning into more of recent in my coaching and my own personal life, avoiding negativity at all cost. Because there's so much of it spilled into our culture today. You see it on the news, you see it in the paper, you see, you know, everywhere you go, the negativity is easy.
That's right.
Right? It's easy to
It is so to easy find to it. Fall into that trap.
And so that consumes us as well. And so one of the things we want to look at is, what am I watching? What am I reading? What am I listening to? And the relationship part, who am I associating with? So is what I'm watching healthy? Is it edifying? Is it encouraging? What I'm listening to, what I'm digesting, what I'm chewing on, is it something that's making me a better person?
Absolutely. You know, I can totally resonate with that myself, both personally and professionally, because I talk with a lot of people that are just inundated with so much negativity, especially from the news media. And even just our culture is getting more and more like finger pointing and negative and really, you know, us against them sort of mentality. And it can really get people down. You know, it was 2020, right before the presidential election and everything, I realized it was hard for me not to get sucked into the news. And I was checking my news app too much. And so I said, you know what? I just went and deleted my news app. I said, this is enough, because I realized exactly what you're saying. It starts to poison you.
And that's important to see that, because a lot of people can't, like I said, like when you're kind of, a lot of people are in burnout or in stress, they can't always see what they don't see unless they take a step out of it, a 30,000 foot view of their life, and be able to see where is some of the toxicity, where is some of the negativity, where is some of that coming from, and it's trickling in somewhere in there, guaranteed, right? If you spend time looking at it and you go, okay, if I'm watching this, is it really healthy? Does it serve me and others to go there with it? It might seem fun and entertaining. Oftentimes negativity is. Shop talk, gossip, it's attractive. But when we look at in the context of value and helpfulness, it's not there, right? Because it's not bringing a we, us, and our together in relationship. It usually divides.
Well, our thoughts and what we look at and what we think about, you know, what we listen to affects our emotions in such a huge way. And so, hey, you know, if we want to be angry, then listen to stuff that's going to make us angry. If we want to be anxious, listen to stuff that's going to drive fear. If we want to be positive, then we should think about truthful things, helpful things.
Absolutely. And you hear it even in the quote, sometimes quotes can get overplayed, but the one that you get what you focus on, when you really think about it, it's absolutely true. I'm focusing on good things, positive affirmation, things that edify, things that encourage, that comes more, the gratitude. If I'm focusing on the negativity, the blame, the bitterness, what's not working right, I go in that direction as well. And my thinking then leads to my actions, and it leads to the results that I have in my life.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that I so love about your approach, Steve, and the way that you've encouraged me and others that you work with is, let's live life intentionally, and let's not just allow our environment to control us and the direction we're going. We can do something about our lives. And if we're not living the life that we really believe we were meant to live, let's do something about it, and we can do it together.
That's it. Absolutely.
So thanks, Steve. I really appreciate you spending this time with me. It's always a blessing to spend time and glean from your wisdom, and thank you for all the amazing work you do.
You're welcome. It's a joy and a pleasure and an honor to serve along with you.
I want to remind our listeners, if you need help and you need someone to come alongside you, the Beautiful Minds is here. We want to do whatever we can to serve you. We have not only in-person coaching, but we also have remote coaching. So if you only take one thing away from today's show, remember this. If mental illness is a whole person problem, then it must have a whole person solution. I'm Dr. Daniel Bynus.
And I'm Leadership Coach Steve C., and you've been listening to
The Brain People Podcast.
Thanks for listening. To hear more episodes, find us on social media, or support us financially, visit thebrainpeoplepodcast.com.